In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O unveil mine eyes, and I shall perceive wondrous things out of thy law. The second verse of the third octave of Psalm 118. And this octave is all started by the word, by the character Gimel, which means camel. So the theme of this octave, these eight verses, is about struggle and endurance in spiritual things. This is one of the best examples in this psalm of the law of God being a reflection of who God is. It's not static, external, arbitrary things. The law of God is who He is. So we must have our eyes unveiled to be able to see the wondrous things out of thy law, meaning Him. Only God sees things as they are. He's the only one who sees reality. And so only God can unveil our eyes so that we can see things as they are. So there should be in us something that resonates when we read this. Because I know that as a Christian, I know in part, but I see through the glass darkly. But there will come a time when I'll see face to face. See perfection face to face. That which is in part will be done away with. And you long for that day. And there is a frustration that is present in me, and it should be in you too. It should be in any Christian, that there is so much about God we do not know because our eyes are veiled. Not because God covers our eyes. He does no such thing. Our eyes are veiled by our sins, because our sins make us incapable of comprehending God. And so really, this is a plea to God saying, help me to struggle with my sins. Because that's the major thing that keeps a person from knowing God. Now, even if a person is without sin, God reveals himself to that person as he wishes. But God reveals himself to us now. He's light. Do we see his light? No, because we are sinners. His light is present, but we don't see him. So this verse should just resonate in us with a deep desire to have our eyes unveiled, knowing that our eyes are veiled because of our sins. This verse reminds me of when Abraham said, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." We're saying, oh, that I could live before thee. Of course, Ishmael would not live before God because God's promise was not through Ishmael. And Ishmael represents dead things and ignorance and sin. We must be crying out to God that we would not have ignorance and sin so that that would not interfere with us being able to see God. So we're crying out, oh, unveil mine eyes, meaning help me to live before thee. I'll tell you, I've read this psalm many, many times, hundreds of times now. And every time I read it, it just, something's different about it every time. The church reads it Monday through Friday and other days as well. And in other services as well. And there's a reason for that. Because all 176 verses just are about God, about who he is, and about what's wrong with us that keeps us from knowing who he is. There's a lot of other stuff in it too. It's a very messianic psalm. But for the most part, what resonates with me in this psalm is this plea that I'd be changed. I'll unveil mine eyes. So what keeps our eyes veiled? What keeps our eyes veiled is sin, like I said. So this is not a static request saying, God, take away my veil. You know, wave your wand, make me better so that I can see you. Because God took away the wand, or waved the wand, proverbially, when Moses saw the back parts. He couldn't bear it. And when the apostles, the three, saw Jesus Christ as he is with the uncreated light streaming forth from him, they couldn't bear it. So unveiling the eyes without a change in the moral state of the person doesn't work. So this plea must be also with our great desire to work. So we have to be fasting and praying, loving our neighbor, struggling in spiritual struggles. Not because these spiritual struggles gain us any points, but because we must be in a receptive condition for the mercy of God and for God's uncreated light to envelop us. And we ask God to unveil our eyes, but we also then do things that will help our eyes be unveiled. Now, there's many kinds of ways that the eyes are veiled. There's outright ignorance of righteousness, but there's also something that everyone has to greater or lesser degree, and that's forgetfulness. Forgetfulness is one of the greatest of ignorances. Forgetfulness is to be ignorant about things that we already know. We know about God. We know about his love. We know his commandments, but we don't do them. We forget them. It's a terrible thing. Now, you can't control the things that you don't know. There's no way that you can know and understand the Holy Trinity without God revealing himself to you as you're able to understand. We're not responsible for not knowing the things we cannot know without God revealing himself. We are responsible for not knowing, that is, forgetting, the things that we already know. Forgetfulness is one of the greatest of sins for that reason. We must fight against it and labor against it, like a camel labors in the desert. So how do we do this? One of the things we do is, well, we don't fall asleep, for one thing. And for another thing, we have a routine. We have a routine. That doesn't mean some sort of legalistic straitjacket, but there's a routine in your life. Prayer should be foremost. Prayer in the morning and in the evening, in some fashion. Reading the gospel, if not every day, then in some regular fashion. I think we should read it every day. Reading the Psalter, saying the Jesus Prayer, observing the fasts, being mindful of the feasts, and struggling to love our neighbor and looking for opportunities to love our neighbor and give ourselves to our neighbor. We do those things. If that's the focus of our life, then forgetfulness is not so close to us. And if there's not forgetfulness, then we remember God. And if we remember God, then he will unveil our eyes. Of course, only God can completely heal us of our forgiveness. But we're responsible for doing what we can. In my experience as a pastor, our greatest problem is that we don't really try hard enough. We say, I've got this problem, this sin, this situation, but we really don't really try that hard to overcome it. We want the problem to be rectified or the sin to be stopped, but we don't want to do the things that will help that sin to be stopped or that problem to be rectified, such as prayer, a lot of prayer, such as fasting, such as coming to the services and all the rest. All those things guide us and help us. God will not remove from us ignorance and forgetfulness without our effort. So we must pursue within, as much as within our power, God. And God will then unveil our eyes and reveal to us the wondrous things out of his law. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages.